Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This message on giving us the fear of the Lord, the concept here is that if wisdom and if knowledge and understanding, if the beginning point is having the fear of the Lord, then this is something we actually want to understand and not just heard a time or two in our life. It actually really, really matters. The beginning of understanding. I just think about that and go, what about all the atheists that spend their whole life studying astrophysics or, you know, studying philosophy or studying whatever they're studying, giving themselves to it, becoming brilliant in their field? It's all for nothing because they're going to die and go to hell, and all that knowledge is going to rest with them. It is the very beginning of understanding. You have not yet entered into the first step of understanding until you have the fear of the Lord. And that doesn't just mean that you came to know the Lord, or that you're a Christian, or that you're, you know, a follower of God. There is something about the fear of God. Now, thinking about this concept of fear, I just want to just touch on this briefly. If you're afraid of something, you respect it. I'm just thinking about encountering a bear out in the woods. Ooh. You got the fear of that bear in you. I mean, that is a big old thing. You just, there's a respect level. You're not looking at it and throwing, you know, rocks at it and going, here, berry, berry, bear, and throwing rocks. I mean, there's a measure of respect because of that thing that you're afraid of that could totally devour you. There is a measure of respect that is required for anything that you're going to fear. That's one point. Another point is, there is a measure not just of respect, but of recognition. You see that bear, you better pay attention. You see that bear, it's not just, oh, look, there's a bear over there. Let's just keep doing what we were doing, cooking all this yummy food with honey on it. You know, I mean, it's like there is a measure of paying attention to that thing which you should fear. And so in that moment, when you see that bear, you not just have a respect, but you are paying attention to what's going on. You are thinking about your life in terms of what that thing over there is going to do to you and what you're going to do in light of that thing being over there. There is a measure of response and respect and paying attention to what's going on with that thing that you fear. And so as we talk about the fear of the Lord, to fear Him really means to know Him, to love Him, to obey Him, to serve Him. It's really to live our lives in light of the fact that there's a God who is looking at us, watching, who is, if you will, that bear at a distance. And the Lord is kindness without measure, but He is one to be respected. And the Lord is actually the one that used the language, fear me. Fear, the fear of the Lord. That is a God orchestrated concept. That's not one that man came up with. That's a wrong appropriation of the word fear. It is a God-given directive to fear the Lord. Furthermore, He says, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you cannot even begin to touch knowledge and understanding. There is no such thing for you as a path, a decision, a life, a direction that will have any measure of wisdom, knowledge, or understanding attached to it if it doesn't have the fear of the Lord as the purpose that came forth from it. Or rather, if you don't have the thought process and the fear of the Lord in your heart and in your mind in those different avenues that I just mentioned, then those things that you're walking out in will not have knowledge, will not have understanding. And this is powerful. I mean, this is something we want to understand and that we want to help put before people. I just wish I could go back to that Sunday school class now that I've got a little bit of clarity on a couple of things. Go back to that Sunday school class and stand up in front of that Sunday school class and say, do you not fear God? And just let them like go, well, what are you talking about? You're all half hungover. Like, do you not fear God? Because you should fear Him. You should have the fear of the Lord. So let's look at a couple of things takeaways. One, just to identify that the fear of the Lord is normal Christianity, and we live in a culture that is totally out of sync with normal Christianity. We live in a culture where it's so acceptable to live however you want and then go to church. That is totally not Christianity, that's something else. And so normal Christianity is the fear of the Lord. You can't even start the process of understanding. You're still totally without any knowledge or understanding. if you don't have the fear of God in you. And it's a reverence of a recognition. There is a holy God, and He is watching, and He cares about the affairs of man. Well, I'll touch on a couple of things that it's not. I just feel a burden about this. Like, this is such a simple message, and I know that. But I just feel like if we can get the fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us 100 things will go well for us. If we can get it in us, and then if we can begin to disciple it into those that we'll raise up and that we'll have leadership in the lives of and that we'll get to minister to and encourage and exhort along the way, if we can get the fear of the Lord in us and then help disciple the fear of the Lord into others, the scriptures give us so many promises about how it will go well with those that this is the case for. So let's talk about a few things that the fear of the Lord is not, since we're going to look at this. One, it is not automatic because we're saved. I believe it's totally possible for a person to say, Jesus, come into my heart. I love you. Right now, I love you. And I want to know you, and I want to do your will. And not pursue what it means to fear the Lord. Maybe be in an environment that's never taught on that and doesn't teach on those principles. And let me take a sidestep. It's very possible for people to fear the Lord and never use the term fear the Lord. I mean, it's a lifestyle. It's a way of living, not just a terminology point. And so I think it's totally possible for people to grow up in an environment, in a church culture, where they worship God and they're you know, trying to serve God, and that they don't understand what the fear of the Lord is because it's not an automatic download. Second, it's not a one-time deal. This is a huge point. The fear of the Lord is not a one-time deal like, well, I read the passages about the fear of the Lord. I kind of felt something on me. It felt kind of scary or something. And now I guess I fear the Lord, and that's going to last the rest of my life. Fear of the Lord is not an emotion. The fear of the Lord is not a one-time sensation. The fear of the Lord is a lifestyle that's lived out of a reality. And that reality is the understanding that there is a God who sees everything. He is watching and He cares. That's the fear of the Lord. If you want to get it in a little nutshell, the fear of the Lord is the revelation that God is and He's watching and He cares. And walking in that is what it means to fear the Lord. So it's not a decision or a Bible study or a sermon. The fear of the Lord is a lifestyle lived before the audience of a powerful and holy God. Next, the fear of the Lord is not being stoic and unemotional. I've met some people throughout the years who they think that what it means, and I've even heard this terminology before, I've heard them say it, like a little silly, but I've heard them say it, where they think that the expression of the fear of the Lord means being unemotional and being very stoic in their presentation and very calm in all their answerings and stuff. And man, if that's your personality, that's great. Go with that. But that is not the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord has nothing to do with your personality. Nothing. The fear of the Lord is the response of our life to the fact that there's a holy God living on that throne, and He is watching and He cares. That's the fear of the Lord. You know, God gave us our personalities. You've heard me say this before, but I just want to free any of you who might need it. God created, He crafted, He thought hard about you, and you are way more than the way you look, because the way you look changes as time goes on. You know, you're all going to get funny looking big noses and big ears. That's just how it works. You're going to shrink and you get gray hair. It's just life. It's okay. It's way more than your frame. Who you are is your personality, and God crafted your personality. Now, your personality has tendencies, some good, some bad, and we got to work through all that. But your personality is not defective. God created it. And so there is no such thing as a personality that is what it means to have the fear of the Lord. Every personality can fear the Lord. Every personality should. You are not. You do not have a defective personality. There's no such thing as, well, you know, I shouldn't be this way, or, you know, I don't like my personality, or my personality, you know, doesn't fit with Christianity. Or, I'm saying this because I used to believe that about myself. I came to know the Lord, and I all I cared about before I knew the Lord was just making people laugh and just being a big joke all my life. And when I came to know the Lord and I started reading these Bible passages, I thought I had a defective personality because all I wanted to do was have a good time. And what I came to understand, and it took me some time, I had to go on a journey, was that the Lord is the one that created that personality. He wants to temper it. He wants to make the jokes godly. He wants to be, you know, to create create the new creation, to have the new creation abide and dwell within me. But the personality is not defective. So if you feel like, well, I'm too quiet, so my personality is messed up. No, God made you that way. He likes you that way. God made you loud and obnoxious. You got to work on some of the rough edges. I get it. But God likes you that way. He made you that way. Well, that was my little side note. Okay. So it's not being unemotional and being stoic. And it's not like any other fear. The fear of the Lord is unique. Because we're told to not fear. We're told that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of strong mind, self-discipline. We're told that God doesn't want us to fear. God doesn't want us to worry. God doesn't want us to have anxiety except about Him. He wants us to fear Him. We're not to fear that bear, in all honesty. We're not to fear the financial situation. We're not to fear those things. We are to fear God. And it is a different perspective. It's actually a great way to channel all that fear that we had when we were lost. Because once we became a new believer, or a new creation, a believer in Christ, we're now told to not fear all the stuff we were fearing and to start fearing the one thing we didn't fear. All the stuff we feared before, now there's no longer a place to fear those things. But now, to take the concept that we understand from being lost of fearing this and that and this and that, he says, yeah, I want you to don't fear any of that anymore. You're not allowed to fear. Didn't give you a spirit of fear. Well, okay, what do I do? Fear me. Whoa. God wants us to fear Him. Stop fearing the things we feared before and begin to fear in reverence the Lord. And because we know what that path looks like, because we used to fear this and that and that, we take that concept of what it meant to fear those things and we apply it to the Lord. Again, reverence, recognition that He's there, that He's powerful, that we've got to pay attention to Him, that His opinion matters. Just think about the bear at the campfire. You really care what that bear's opinion is right then. You really care. Is he thinking about how scrumptious you are or how scrumptious the food is? Is he thinking I'm already full? Is he thinking I can't wait to charge you? Is he looking to see what sticks you might have nearby? You care what that bear's opinion is. To fear the Lord means we care what His opinion is. We're thinking about it. It's on our mind. So let's do some what the fear of the Lord is. Living in the fear of the Lord, this is what it really comes down to. You've heard me say it a number of times, but I want us to start measuring our own lives and the lives of those that we'll get to minister to along this thought process. He is watching over us and He sees everything. Everything, every motive in your heart, every thought that you didn't say out loud, every deed that you did in secret, he sees everything. That is so intense. He knows everything about us, and living with this in mind throughout all the processes of life is the only wise way to live, and it produces godliness. It produces such godliness. It is a godly way to live. To be thinking about the moment that you're in and going, you're watching right now, aren't you? What do you think about this? How do you feel about that person? How do you feel about this situation? How do you feel about my heart that's so hurt right now? How do you feel? How do you feel? What are you thinking? Jeremiah 23:24 says it pretty well. Jeremiah 23. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Who can hide? Do you think you can hide that from me? That thought, that decision, that action, that way, that thing? Remember, this is the beginning of wisdom. This is the very starting point for having knowledge on planet Earth. If you want understanding, and again, it's not a one-time thing. If you want understanding, it only comes through the lens of the fear of the Lord. And again, I just feel an apt definition of the fear of the Lord is He's watching and He cares. That's just the easiest way. Without the fear of the Lord, it's impossible to have the understanding. It's impossible to have knowledge. It's the very beginning point. And so with that in mind, so that we don't take this in an undue way, the Lord is watching. And He cares about our decisions. Who can hide? We can't hide our sin. We can't hide our motives. We can't hide our decisions. This does not mean we have to live perfectly, because none of you or me will. But what it does mean is that we care, that He's watching, that He's listening, that He sees, that He knows. This is not a good idea. This is not a good Christian teaching. This is the foundation of knowledge and understanding. This is more than like a cute little additive to our Christian walk. This is the foundation of understanding. The fear of the Lord. He is. He's watching. And He cares. In our daily pursuit of God, what does this look like? Like, how do we walk this out? And what in the world? Living in the fear of the Lord in our daily pursuit. 2 Kings 22:2 says it pretty good, I think. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning to the right or to the left. Our daily pursuit of God is following him, is doing what's right in his eyes. Doing what's right, doing what we know he wants. And the truth of the matter is, the longer we live in Jesus and the more that we pursue him, the more clarity we get on what he wants. But just today, knowing what you know, serve him, do what is right in his eyes to the best of what you know. In our pursuit of God. Next, in our decision making. 2 Corinthians 13:7. Our decision making. You know, I pray this prayer all the time. I've changed it a little bit. I have given the creative license to pray, God, don't let me do anything stupid. You may have heard me say that a few times before. It is a great prayer, and Paul prayed it. Here's Paul, 2 Corinthians. Now we pray to God that you would not do anything wrong, and that you would do what's right. Again, my interpretation, the Brad Message Bible would say, don't do anything stupid. And in this, it's in our decision making. Because what Paul's saying here is that you would process what you're doing, he's praying for them, that you'd process what you're doing so that you wouldn't make wrong decisions. Not wrong like, inconsequential. Wrong like it's really going to matter if you do that thing. If you do it wrong. In our decision making, we should have the fear of God. Instead of just saying yes, saying no, doing this, doing that, instead of just throwing all those things out there, in our decision making, we ought to have a healthy fear of God. What does it mean? God, what do you think about this decision? What do you think about what we're doing? How do you feel about this offer I'm being offered? Get God's opinion. Don't do anything stupid. It's really easy to do something wrong if you don't get his counsel, if you don't get his opinion. Again, going back to that bear. Bear, would you like me to back away from the fire and leave you the food? Or would you like me to stay here and you're just going to wander off? Get the counsel from the one whom you fear. That's the fear of the Lord, is the recognition that he's there and he's paying attention and that he cares. And so in our decision making, it's not just that we would try to make godly decisions based off of, you know, a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. I think there's a lot of wisdom in the do's and the don'ts of the Bible. But it's beyond that, because you're going to have 100 decisions in your life, 1,000 decisions in your life that aren't in the Bible. Major decisions. You've got to get his counsel. You've got to hear from him, because he's there, he cares, and he has an opinion. And in your decision making, seeking him, Lord, what do you want? Now that sounds so elementary to us. That is not elementary to much of what is going on around us right now. I mean, that sounds so ABC 123 to us. I get that. You've got to understand that is not the normal MO of tens of thousands of believers within just some matter of, you know, 10 to 20 miles of where you're sitting right now. That is not the thought process. Oh, I should actually ask God about my decisions. They're just making decisions. I'm not mad. I just want you to understand that this is a piece of DNA that you have that is not normal yet in our culture. The concept of asking God for his counsel, presenting your decision to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want? I need to know what you want. I'll do what you want. Instead of, it's my life, I'm going to do whatever I want. That's not the fear of the Lord. And that's not a way to wisdom, to understanding, or to knowledge. That's a way to get your life the way you want it, and maybe very far outside of the Lord's plan. Next point, in our business transactions, Leviticus 25, 14 through 17, just a little excerpt here. Asking the question again about in our business transactions, in the job that we have, in how we manage business. You know, if you have a job long enough, you are going to be presented with opportunities to make money in a way that the Lord does not want you to make money. I mean, you will there will be opportunities that will present themselves to you. It's a way to cheat the system to get a little bit extra. It's a way to close this business deal, but it's not really what God wants at all. It's a way to just whatever. There's going to be opportunities. If you have a job, you're going to have opportunities presented to you at some point or another that you should pass on. Here's what it says just in Leviticus. If you sell or buy, do not take advantage of one another. Do not take advantage of one another, but fear God, for I am the Lord your God. So what is it when the moment comes to take advantage of somebody? Well, if you just don't tell them this, you could actually make a lot more money off of them. What about, it's a thing that your boss has said, yeah, don't do this thing. When this thing comes up, don't do it. But it's a way for you to have quadrupled your money on the thing. You're working for yourself. And you've got this business deal, this transaction, this opportunity, this thing. But it's shady. It's shady. Listen, I want to tell you, I know way too many people who do the shady thing and then make excuses for it and have no qualm at all about it because they got money. And they'll even say it afterwards. Well, surely it was the Lord's desire to bless me because I got all this extra money because of the transaction. I know way too many people that think that way, and you do too. That's the normal thought process in our culture, and it's not the fear of God, and it is not wisdom. To go into our business transactions and go, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? And some of them are just clear, you know? I mean, some of them you shouldn't have to even think about. You just know it's not, God's not in it. Some of them you might have to. You might have to, Lord, what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? It's wisdom. The beginning of understanding is to take that business transaction to God and say, God, what's your opinion in this thing? How do you think? How do you feel? What's your word revealed? And what do I know in my heart, in my conscience, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit? And then what do I just need to hear from heaven so I can know how to handle this transaction? Way too much shady transactions that the Lord is not in are happening by those that claim the name of Jesus. It's happening all the time. And it's not okay. It's not the fear of God at all. And that's normal around us. I just want to tell you that. If you know that or don't. And many of you can probably think of occasions where you've heard about that friend or that family member or that whoever person you've gone to church with or whatever that's made some of those transactions and they just excuse it. They just kind of laugh it off. Going back to that verse, who of you can find a place that the Lord does not see? Like, as though laughing it off makes God, who sees everything, wink at you and go, ha ha, good one. That's what people think. That like God somehow is tricked or confused. Or the fear of the Lord is in our business transactions to go, that's going to make me $10,000? Wow, I'm going to get a big reward upstairs because I'm not doing that. That's going to be a big one upstairs. Man, can't wait. Because I am not doing that. Because that is not what God wants. That is totally off limits. The Lord is just all over how you're not supposed to do that deal. And you just know it. You just don't do it. And the Lord says, that which is done in secret, you will be rewarded for. That's the fear of the Lord. But the carnal mind just says, again, the carnal mind, mine, yours, says, bling, I see the dollar signs, 10,000 of them. And all I have to do is say yes to this little thing and then get over the grievance on my conscience just in a day or two. Just kind of, it'll kind of wear off. And then I'm $10,000 richer. Boom. That's the normal thought process of many, many, many people all around us. And truly, it is the inclination of our own hearts. And we have to fight it. That's the normal inclination of our heart, is to try to find a way to excuse it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning point of understanding and of knowledge. Next point, in the way we interact with each other. 1 Peter 2:15. talks a little bit about this. We're to do good to one another. We're to express our love for people, especially for those that are part of the community of God. Our calling as believers is to be filled with love and to do good to one another. That is the interaction that we're supposed to be having with each other. That's the fear of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:15 says this, "For it is God's will that by doing good, you'd silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Show proper respect to everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God." Whew, there it is again. What does it mean to fear God? Love the family of believers. Well, yeah, but they're told, yeah, love them. Love the family of believers. Do good, because it'll silence the talk of the foolish ones. Do good. Love people. Live in reverence. Show proper respect to everybody. Fear God. Well, I don't really feel like showing proper respect to this person. Fear God. Fear God in the way we interact with each other, the way we talk to one another, the way we talk at all ought to reflect a fear of God. God is. He's watching and He cares about the little things that come out of your mouth, about the little ways that you interact with each other, about the way that I speak to my wife, about the way that we talk to each other, the way that we talk about each other. Fear God. The fear of God. This is Peter. I mean, ooh, that fear God thing, that's like a conversation changer. Well, I mean, everything's like upbeat. It's God's will that by doing good, you'd silence ignorant people, show proper respect, love everybody. Fear God. This is a game-changing conversation point. Fear God. He just throws it in there like, oh man, it's just such a punch in the face. As if to say, if you don't do these things, clearly there's no fear of God in your life. And by the way, if you don't fear God, you're stupid. Because remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. I mean, that's a big point. The way we interact with each other. The family of believers is supposed to be love, respect, reverence. Fear God in the way we serve. We've got a couple of verses we'll put up. 2 Chronicles 19 and 1 Samuel 12. The way we fear, serving wholeheartedly. We touched on this a little bit in a previous message recently, but this concept of serving wholeheartedly, it touches on the fear of the Lord again. Serving wholeheartedly in whatever we do is an overflow of the fear of the Lord. He gave them these orders. You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. The concept. Serve wherever you're at. Work, church, household responsibilities. Serve. Serve in the fear of the Lord. So God's watching you do that thing. And He cares. God has an opinion. Serve wholeheartedly in the fear of God. That God sees me. He sees if I cut the corners. He sees if I know the good I ought to do and I don't do it. You know what Romans says? He who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. The fear of God. Serving in the fear of God. You know what this does? When people live this way, it makes everybody like them. I mean, who doesn't like the wholehearted servant? You know, it's part of the fragrance of Christ in the earth. Is we would be those wholehearted servants. It says, serve faithfully. Faithfully. Don't be a limp leg that nobody can lean on. Serve faithfully. Serve wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord, in the knowledge that He is. He's watching and He cares. Serve that way at your job, the thing you volunteer for, that small group, whatever. Serve in the fear of the Lord. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey Him and do not rebel against His commands, and if both you and the King who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. It is good to fear the Lord. It's so good. It pleases the Lord. He pours out His promises, His provisions, His blessings. Good. And you can imagine what the rest of that verse says. The next part. And if you don't, bad. Paraphrase mine. So seeking the Lord, seeking the fear of the Lord. The Word says that we are to cry out for understanding. Now, if we relate that understanding back to the fear of the Lord, because we were told that it's the beginning point. Fear God is the beginning of understanding. Proverbs 2, 3 through 5 tells us a little bit of how to handle this. The Word tells us that we're to cry out for God to reveal more of Himself to us and to impart not only understanding, but to even impart more of the fear of the Lord to us. That if we cry out for it, see, this is the whole point. The Lord keeps us in such a posture of humility and of needing Him because He says that the fear of God is the beginning point and that you can't even get that unless you cry out for it. Like you can't just fear God because you wake up one day. You got to like pursue it. I mean, the Lord puts us in such an arm lock. I mean, He's just got us hemmed in at every angle. In order to have anything worth value, you got to get it from God. And in order to get anything from God, you got to cry out for it. I mean, man, this is just intense. This is a way to keep humanity humble. This is a way to keep us seeking God our whole lives. This is a way to keep us from blowing up in pride, is to seek the fear of the Lord, to seek understanding from the Lord. We're to cry out for it. If you call out for insight, and if you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it, like you look for hidden silver or search for hidden treasure, well then, you'll understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. You got to search for it. You got to seek it out. You know, part of the reason that those folks that I was talking about at the beginning, that maybe were in that Sunday school class with me, they didn't have the fear of the Lord, is they thought they just got it by being saved. I'm sure when they'd read those Proverbs, they read the proverb this way. He who gets saved has the fear of the Lord. That's not the case. If we want understanding, if we want knowledge, we've got to search for it as for hidden treasure. Hidden treasure, finding silver. We've got to cry out for insight. Cry aloud for understanding. And if we'll do this, if we will search for insight and understanding, if we will search for the counsel of the Lord, if we will search to understand what it means to fear the Lord, He says, well, if you'll do all that, well, then you'll have it. And I'll just tell you from a little bit of experience and from watching some others and from just knowing a little bit about kind of how things work in the human heart, at least in mine, it's really easy for a season, a year, maybe even 10, to seek the fear of the Lord, to pursue truth and understanding, to cry out, God, give me insight. God, give me understanding. And really easy, after you have a little bit of that, to stop crying aloud for insight and understanding. At which point, you've now left the way of wisdom. And you start to lean on your own understanding. You start to acknowledge your own ways. It's really easy. It's too easy. It's painfully easy. We just need to give our lives to Jesus every day until we're dead. I mean, for those that are used to that terminology about getting saved, man, we just got to get saved every day of our life. We just got to give ourselves over to Jesus fully. I am fully yours every day of my life. There's just no vacation. There's no like, well, I sought the Lord, I sought the fear of God, I sought understanding, I sought those things for a season of my life, and now I'm on a break and I don't need to do those things anymore. It's total folly. And it's a way to wind up very far from God. We have got to be those that cry out for insight and for understanding. And we got to look for it, we got to dig for it. And you know what? After you've dug everywhere you know how to dig, you got to find new places to dig. Because you're not done digging. And you got to look for it as for silver, as for hidden treasure. Well, I already dug up everywhere I know. Ask God for more places to go dig. Because you're not done until you're dead. We've got to be those that cry out, God, I don't have the answers. God, I don't understand. God, I don't know how to lead. I don't know how to do this. I need you. I need you. I need you. He wants us in the posture of I need you, on our knees, searching for the fear of the Lord all the days of our lives until this thing is through. Why don't you guys stand? I just want to pray for us.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.